Thank you very much, and happy Sabbath to everyone. I hope that it's a blessed Sabbath day for you all, those here and those watching on the video connection. The Saturn V rocket roared to life as it slowly pushed away from the platform. The space capsule inside was cramped. I turned my head to the right to look at astronaut Neil Armstrong, but he just continued to stare at his instrument panel with this expressionless look on his face. Oh well, the computer program had its limitations. You see, I was using a virtual reality computer. These are computers that create a three-dimensional simulation using a special headset with lenses in them. The library where I work has this equipment because we were able to purchase this a few years back when we received a special grant for it. Among the various simulations offered is one called the Apollo 11 Experience. Again, it only simulates the various scenes from the Apollo 11 crew's mission to the moon. In one scene, I'm on the lunar module as it's landing towards the moon's surface. Another scene, I'm on the moon, looking around at my surroundings. But again, it's only a simulation. All of the dangers and all of the risks are absent. Being an astronaut is dangerous. The only one other career occupation considered to be more dangerous than that of an astronaut, well, I'll leave that as a teaser for after services. Being an astronaut is not easy. An astronaut can face many dangerous challenges. Yet, the mission continues. Being a Christian is not easy. A Christian can face many dangerous challenges. Yet, the mission continues. While the spotlight has focused many times on the astronauts, and rightly so for their efforts, I'd like to bring attention to the unsung heroes who also had their part in this mission. I'm talking about those in mission control. They had an important role to play in this event as well, but come on, who really thinks of them? It's only been a little over a year since the 50th anniversary of the Apollo moon landing was celebrated. I'd like to use this theme to focus not only on the importance of NASA's mission control, but to express appreciation for our own Christian mission control, God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to present three observations today, and so we'll start with observation number, you guessed it, one. Observation number one, mission control is in authority. Mission control is in authority. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. Now, in the computer program that I experienced, I remember a scene where they took a bit of archival audio from the mission itself. And this is where the space capsule was to connect with the lunar module that was still inside the remaining portion of the Saturn V rocket. The astronauts knew what they needed to do, but before they actually started, they contacted Mission Control to let them know what they were about to do. Mission Control responded simply with, "Go ahead." Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23 summarizes what is recorded in Numbers 14. Now we're cutting right into the middle of, or right into Moses' account of what happened to the Israelites 40 years earlier. And I'd like to read Deuteronomy 9:23 from the New International Version. And when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You did not trust him or obey him. What happened? They rejected their mission. That's what happened. Israel faced many challenges during their journey to the Promised Land. Each time, God was there to help with their situation. But now they had had enough. Now they believe the false report of the 10 scouts instead of the true report of the 2 scouts. The people were now going to change course and head back to Egypt. They discontinued their mission. There was just one problem. They didn't realize the communication link to their mission control was still active. God heard their every word. God's decision? Okay. The mission is hereby postponed, not canceled. I will continue the mission with a new crew, their grown children. And he did just that. God's people have to be willing collectively and individually to accept and rely on God's directions and decisions every step of the way. No matter the situation, God is still in charge of the mission. The choices we have are either to accept or decline the mission. Observation number 2, mission control sees the, quote, big picture. Mission control sees the big picture. Walking on the moon can be hazardous. Astronauts have reported a loss of depth perception and inability to determine distance while on the moon's surface. For example, rocks appear closer than they really are. Canyon-like formations can appear to be shallow ditches when they are actually miles wide and hundreds of feet deep. Some attribute this vision problem due to the lack of atmosphere, while others have said that it's an inner ear problem. No matter the cause, the effect is still the same. The danger from it is very real. That's why mission control always needs to track the location of the astronauts when they are on the moon. For those called by God, is it possible to have one's spiritual perspective affected by the environment that surrounds them? Do God's people see with the same breadth and depth that God does? Or can we utilize the power that God offers us to help us navigate in this environment? Consider this story found in Joshua chapter 9. You don't have to turn there. But in Joshua chapter 9, a group of men suddenly appeared and introduced themselves as ambassadors from a distant country to Joshua and his team of advisors. The strangers refused to reveal which country they represented, saying only that they came from far away. Their goal? To obtain a peace treaty with the Israelites. From what Joshua and his men saw, they had traveled a great distance. The strangers' clothes were ragged, shoes worn, and provisions like bread moldy and dry. So, a treaty was made. Just one problem with that. Joshua never contacted God to ask him about this. Why, they figured. They could determine the matter based on what they saw, but they couldn't. The Israelites had been tricked. The strangers were actually neighbors who lived a short distance away in the land of Canaan. If only they had contacted God first, he would have told them what he already knew, that these Gibeonites, not wanting to be destroyed by the Israelites, deliberately disguised themselves, hoping to improve their chances of survival. Now, the Israelites had to keep their word. disobeying God in the process. I'd like to read from Psalms chapter 33, starting with verse 13. Psalms 33, verse 13. And in Psalms, as you're turning to Psalms 33:13, if you'd like, I just want to say that I remember while growing up hearing the phrase, some open doors are trap doors. Because of that, I would try to remember to involve God in certain decisions that I had to make in life. Why? Let's read the following scripture. Again, Psalms 33, starting at verse 13, I'd like to continue to verse 15. I'd like to read this from the New American Standard Bible. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts, and some translations may have, he who fashions the minds or the thoughts of them all. He who understands all their works. Question: how many times did Christ know what someone's intentions really were? They couldn't fool him. The God family sees the big picture. Observation number three: we have a representative in mission control. Among the rows of computer consoles staffed by technical specialists at NASA's Mission Control are computer stations that are assigned to astronauts who have, you might say, real-world experience. They have passed the various tests, like the one that has them traveling in a circle until their face begins to distort and stretch as if it were made of Play-Doh or Silly Putty. Take your pick. They have gone into space and safely returned. In Mission Control, they provide a comforting and reassuring voice to their fellow astronauts during the mission. We have a representative in our own Christian Mission Control, Jesus Christ. I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. And I'll be continuing up to verse 16. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, we read, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, or let us hold firmly to what we profess. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus has actually completed the program. He offers the Father a perspective without compromising on God's way of living, from having been a human being himself. Christ provides us with the help and comfort we need to complete our mission. In conclusion, our mission is not a computer simulation. It is very real. But we have the Father and Jesus Christ to guide and help us along this spiritual journey. Let us be encouraged and therefore remain in constant contact with our own Christian Mission Control.